in today's world, it seems culture is too quick to fight over things that, when all is said and done, aren't really worth the trouble. However, there are some things in life that warrant a war in order to protect. We now bring you some music, followed by Brother Jared Dixon preaching Some Things Worth Fighting For.
Were creation suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues to lift one cry, then from north and south and east and west we'd hear Christ be magnified. Were the whole earth echoing his imminence, his name would burst from sea and sky, from rivers to the mountain tops, we'd hear Christ be magnified.
Jared Dixon coming in tonight, and I always enjoy his preaching. Come on, preacher. Amen. So you make Brother Jared Dixon welcome tonight. Get your Bible out. Here we go.
Amen. Well, ain't it good to be saved tonight? Amen. Sure do appreciate the Lord. Great singing, young people. Man alive. I could have heard some more of that. Absolutely blessed. Thank the Lord for it. Thankful for the opportunity, as always. And what a joy to be in the Lord's house. Good crowd. Amen. Amen. I know y'all have had a good time because it's showing tonight. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's the Thursday. I almost said Wednesday. I don't know what day it is. It's some day of the week. I know that. But you ain't got the Thursday night lull. I know that. Y'all fired up and ready to go. Amen. I appreciate that. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, if you'll allow me to be in a familiar portion of Scripture tonight. We'll do our best to be a help to the people of God and encourage you. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I want us to begin reading in verse number 20. When I hear the leaves quit falling, I'll begin reading. And boy, I enjoyed my drive in, getting to see some of this pretty leaf changing around this place. It ain't doing that in our house. They're just falling off. Amen. And I'm thankful for God's creation. Amen. Sometimes just a little quiet time and a ride through the mountains just reminds you about the goodness of God. Amen. I'm thankful for that. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 20, the Bible says this. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" The people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Would you pray for me this evening? Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the presence of God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand again and open this precious word and preach what thus saith the Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would use me tonight. Lord, I know it won't be of any words that I say that would be of any help or encouragement. And I pray, Lord, that you would use me as your vessel and the instrument to relay the sound that you have for your people. Lord, and for that, we'd give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' precious name, and for Jesus' sake, amen, amen and amen. We probably could all open our Bibles tonight and probably all preach a sermon found out of 1 Samuel chapter 17, as I've done numerous times. Probably, matter of fact, as the Lord gave me this thought, when I begin to go back through different Bibles, seeing how many sermons I have preached, and you almost get to that place in our minds where we think, how in the world could we visit a place so familiar and yet it still be refreshing and still yet it speak to our heart? Well, can I say tonight, I'm glad that the Word is alive tonight. Amen. This Word is powerful as long as He is alive. Matter of fact, the Word of God said it like this, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. So I've got no question about it. This Word will always be a refreshing Word.
Amen. I'm thankful when I look in the life of David tonight, when I think about him as a young boy, walking into this scenario, walking into this battlefield, there's some things that really struck my attention as I read back through it. The first thing that I thought about in introduction was the preparation that David was making to fight this battle. This takes some guts. This takes some effort. This wasn't a thing that you can just wake up today and accomplish before the sun goes down. There must be some preparation that has to be made for somebody to fight a battle like this. And so I begin to look throughout the chapter. I begin to go back into other chapters. And I searched all over where David must have walked up as he's seen this Philistine, as he's cussing the armies of Israel, as he's cussing the God of Israel. No doubt he probably said, "Time out, boys. I'll volunteer to handle this. But before I take these matters into my hands, before I fight this battle, there's some things that I need to go pray about. Maybe there's some sins I need to go confess. Maybe there's some things that I need to talk with the Lord with. I need to go get filled up real fast. I need to go get God's hand on my life real fast." If I'd have been there and if I'd have seen a giant such as Goliath standing there, I'd have said, "Boys, we need to have an altar of prayer. I need God's hand on my life. Amen. I need his touch. Let's stop for a minute and pray for a minute that God will help us and see us through this time." But the more that I look, the less that I found. Matter of fact, I'll say it like this. I didn't find anywhere where David made any preparation for this battle. What I believe tonight is simply this. When David showed up to the battlefield, he was already ready. He was already prepared. He was already prayed up. He was already in tune with God. The reason why we're losing so many battles that we are is because we are waiting to find God. We are waiting to get filled up with God. We do have to stop and pray. We do have to stop and confess. Oh, but if we'd have some children of God, if we'd have some young people, if we'd have some mamas and some daddies that said, "Hey, I didn't have to go confess my sins. I didn't have to go get right with God, but I showed up ready. I showed up dressed. I showed up prepared for whatever was lying before me." Amen. His preparation. Not only his preparation, but his plan. Verse number 37 said, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." Now remind us tonight, this is going to be a simple sermon, but can I do it tonight? And can I remind us that it's not up to you and I to fight our own battles? Amen. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Amen. If you're going to go by your strength, you're going to find yourself at a loss. If you're going to go by your own knowledge, you'll end up scratching your head at the end of the day. But I'm glad when a little old shepherd boy showed up, he said, "There's somebody bigger than I am. There's somebody greater than I am. You may have a shield, you may have a sword, but I come in the name of the Lord." Oh, the plan.
You're right.
Then notice his purpose. Verse 29, "Is there not a cause?" And that's where I want to land at tonight for just a moment if I can. And I'd like to preach on this thought. Some things worth fighting for. Some things worth fighting for. I heard a preacher say it like this one time. He said, "You better be willing to stand for something or you'll fall for anything." I want to say it tonight. I got a little gray in my beard. I ain't got no gray in my hair yet, brother, but I am losing my hair. Somebody say amen right there. Every time I see somebody I ain't seen in about 5 years, they say, "What's happening to you?" Amen. Amen. I ain't got enough gray to call myself old. I ain't got enough numbers on my age to be an old man. But can I say, in my 31 years of living, in my about 10, 11 years of ministry, I am finding out that there are some things that are worth fighting for. Amen. Amen. I used to hear my daddy. I used to hear those older preachers that I grew up under. And they would talk about fighting the good fight of faith. And they would talk about fighting battles and fighting this and fighting that. And I had no clue what they was talking about, even though I'd amen them, even though I'd shout them on. But can I tell you, day in and day out, I am seeing it more and more every day, that there are some things that are slipping by the wayside. And honey, it's up to people like you and I at a camp meeting on the side of a mountain in Tennessee to stand up and say, hey, there's some things that are still worth fighting for in this day and age that we live. It ain't time to back up. It's not time to sit down. It's not time to quit. Oh, but quit you like me and stand up. And when you've done all to stand, stand you there for. Oh, there's some things that are worth fighting for. Three or four things that David thought was worth fighting for. Number one, tonight I believe he would tell us his father was worth fighting for. Notice what it said in verse number 17. The Bible said, and Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. Do you realize tonight that the only reason David is even at this battle, the only reason why that he's arrived at this place that he's at, is simply because his father was the one that told him to go? Oh, glory, hallelujah. Amen. The only reason why David ever seen Goliath standing in his might, the only reason why David ever walked to that brook and gathered 5 smooth stones, is because he was simply obeying the commands of his father. I don't know if you know it or not tonight, but the only reason why I'm here, I do love you. I'm glad to see you. I've enjoyed myself already, but there's one reason why I'm standing where I'm standing tonight. It is because my father has commanded me to be here, and I'm just seeking his will. I'm taking orders from him, and I want to be wherever the Father sends me. Oh, he was sent by the Father. I want to say to you tonight that not everybody's going to like you being sent as much as you like being sent. And not everybody's going to appreciate you obeying the voice of God. Not everybody's going to appreciate your willingness as much as you are. And they surely ain't going to appreciate it like God does, because it ain't going to make sense to them. It's not going to add up to them. You won't be qualified to them. You won't be enough for them in any way, shape, or form. And David's fixing to find out exactly what I'm talking about. And every one of us in here, preachers, Sunday school teachers, deacons, singers in a choir, amen, or maybe you just scrub the toilet real good at the church that you go to. But anybody that has surrendered their life to the work of God at some time and in some way, someone has questioned your well-being, and they have wondered, why are you doing what you're doing?
You're right.
Notice what the Bible says. Verse number 28, the Bible said, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thy heart, and I know that you came down here for nothing more than to see the battle. Boy, you're talking about one of the smartest men that ever lived. I thought it was Solomon, all of his wisdom. But turns out it was Eliab in all of his wisdom. He knew every reason why David done showed up. After he just got through asking him why, then he says, I know why. All of a sudden, he's got every reason, and he begins to read David's mail. Don't be surprised when that one that starts degrading what you're doing for God. Don't be surprised that the one that rises up against you, it ain't going to be someone that you least expect, or that you expected it from, but it will be the one you least expected it from. It might be a friend. It might be a loved one. And in David's case, it might be your own brother. I know why you're down here. He sounded like he knew a lot, but he didn't know everything. He said, I know that you came down here because you want to see how real men do it. You're just a shepherd boy. You're just out there tending to our father's sheep. He said, and you came down here so you can see the blood and guts being shed, that you just might see the battle. I'm sorry, Brother Lyba, but that's where you got it wrong. David didn't come down to see the battle, but he came to win the battle. He came to find the victory. What you were not willing to do, David was willing to go forth and take on somebody bigger and better and scarier than what he was. Oh, that we had a David to stand and fight for some things. I'll say something else about Brother Eliab and I'll move on. Brother Sean didn't tell me how short or how long to preach, but I drove 3.5 hours to get here and I'm driving 4 hours to get home. So here we go. Somebody say amen. Let me say something about this, about Eliab. Notice what it says, verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. Now, I just believe, brother, this ain't the first time that Eliab has ever had a little anger issue with baby brother. I think there has been something that has been brewing on the inside of Eliab's heart and Eliab's spirit. And I think we have to go back a chapter or two to find out what the source of this problem really is. You say, what do you think it is? Well, I think it might have been one day when there was a knock on Jesse's door. And he opened up the door, and there stood the man of God. Oh. And he said, Brother Jesse, God done talked to me. He said, and God told me that there was a young man in this household that will one day rise up to be the king. He will sit on the throne. He will lead God's people. He will oversee God's people. And he began to explain the days to come of a King David, not knowing that it was David at the time, but yet it was of the household of Jesse. Yeah. Brother Jesse, you got any boys that you think might qualify for a position such as that? He said, do I ever? He said, oh, I got one. He stands tall. He's got wisdom, Brother Samuel. If something ever was to happen to me, the farm would go on. He knows how to plow the land. He knows how to plant the seeds. He knows how to reap a harvest. He knows how to work a team of oxen. He knows how to keep the books. He knows how to do it all. He's got muscles on top of muscles. He's the oldest of all my children. If God is going to use any of my boys, no doubt it would be my son Eliab. Oh, Eliab, come in here. Go the man of God wants to see you. And boy, here he came. And he walked in. Brother Samuel felt as empty as the day before he knew the Lord. And he looked at Brother Eliab. And he looked at Brother Jesse. And he shook his head. He said, Brother Jesse, I'm sorry. He said, but that ain't the one that I came to see. And little by little, brother after brother, they got a little shorter. The muscles started dwindling down a little bit. The wisdom wasn't quite there. And Lord, please don't let something happen all the way down to this boy, because the farm will go under. Can I get a witness right there? He don't even know what an oxen is. Amen. He don't even know what a yoke is. He don't know nothing. He looked them all over. And after he'd seen them all, he said, Brother Jesse, I'm sorry. The Lord told me. I know what I heard, and the Lord said that there's one here. Yeah. Do you not have any more? He said, well, I got one more. If you ever wonder where Eliab got it from, listen to his daddy talk for a moment. He said, he's just an old shepherd boy. Yeah. Out there in the field tending a few little old sheep. He said, can I see this little old shepherd boy? All of a sudden, a brother runs and gets David and brings him back in the house after he told him that the preacher wanted to see him. Ain't nobody ever wanted to see David. So when somebody finally wanted to see David, here he comes running in, jumps up in a chair somewhere and said, here I am. And when David walked into that room, there started to be backflips to roll down in the gut and the soul of the preacher man. All of a sudden, he realized, as the voice of God began to speak to him, this is the one. This is him. And all of a sudden I can see his brother Samuel reached into his coat pocket and he pours out a horn of oil and he holds it up in the air above his head and he puts another hand on the head of brother David and he begins to pray a prayer of blessing and he begins to call out on God and he says, Lord, protect this young man, raise this young man, equip this young man, Lord, that one day he may sit on the throne. Oh, and Lord, he will win victories. They'll sing songs about Saul and the thousands that he kills. But with this young man, they'll sing a song of 10,000s. Oh, and God, he will lead your people back to you. And guess who didn't forget about it?
Good preacher.
And his anger was kindled against David. Why is everybody so upset with what you're doing for God? Can I just be honest? When I walked up to the scene, I thought Brother Eliab would have stepped over there with David and said, tell him, little brother. That's right. We need somebody to rise up. We need somebody to fight this man. We need somebody to take hold of the sword. Let's win this victory for Israel, for God. Why wasn't Eliab with David? But it actually almost looks like there's been a line drawn in the sand. And if I didn't know any better, I would think Eliab was on the other team side. Instead of encouraging his brother, he was discouraging him and degrading him. Oh my, can I just preach it the way I feel it tonight? How come we ain't encouraging each other? How come we're not for our brothers? How come we're not trying to push them in the fight? I know we get weary. I know we get tired. I know the world may not like it. But honey, I'm on your side. I want to see us get to heaven together. Let's fight the battles together. There's only one enemy. My brother ain't my enemy. My sister's not my enemy. Even if they do it a little bit different than how you do it, just get over it and keep on going on. But somebody get in the battlefield and help your brother. Help your brother. Why are you down here, David? My father, he sent me down here. David said the father was worth fighting for. Not only was the father worth fighting for, the flock was worth fighting for.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Look at verse 34. The Bible said, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him.
Yeah.
This don't make very good sense to me. How a young little old fella like David is fixing to run out yonder and try to tackle himself a lion. I know this. I like as good as wrestling a match or watching a fight on TV as anybody. But if I see a bear out yonder beside my truck when I get ready to go, I'm going to come back in here and be like, you know what? I just don't feel like leaving yet. Are you with me? Y'all got anything like that in Texas that I need? Amen. I might move to Texas. Amen. It don't make much sense. But there was something down inside of David.
Yes.
He might have just been a shepherd boy. He might have been too young in everyone else's eyes. But there was a love for those sheep. That it was hard to explain how someone could run after a lion, how someone could run after a bear. But you know what I've seen over and over and over? I've only been preaching a handful of years compared to several in here. But I've been raised in church all of my life. My daddy's been pastoring for nearly 30 years of his life. Grew up in church. And I tell you this, I've seen the shepherd go after some things. Simply because he loved the sheep. Notice what that scripture says. I feel like I had it wrong for so many years. When I think about David running out after this situation, I always in my mind, and y'all forgive me for it, but I always thought, because the scriptures always taught that 99, he would leave the fold to go after the one. But I would always put it in this perspective, that the shepherd would go after the sheep. But in verse number 35, David didn't say, I went out after the sheep. He said, I went out after him and smote him. He wasn't smiting the lamb. He wasn't smiting the flock. He wasn't smiting the one that he loved. But he was after the thing that was causing the danger to the one that he loved. If y'all will amen me real good, I'll move on real fast and I'll get out of the way. This is all I want us to understand as children of God, as a part of the flock, as a part of the fold. Every time the preacher gets up, man, I don't know about how it is in Texas, but you can see him down here in the southeast. Man, the preacher, he gets up there and he starts preaching on drinking, and they say, get him, preacher. That's right. I'm talking about that drinking's evil. That drinking's wicked. Hey, man, that drinking is terrible. He starts preaching on fornication. Get him, preacher. They ought not be sinning like that. He starts preaching on drugs. Oh yeah, get them preaching. You know, there's some that likes to get a little buzz on the weekend, but they're going to be singing in the choir Sunday morning, and they all for the preacher, preaching against everything that they are against as well. But you let him get on a good gossip sermon on Wednesday night. You let him step on their toes on Sunday evening. You let him start talking about some things that they don't like, and all of a sudden they start crossing their hands and folding their arms and saying, I just don't know why the preacher's always preaching at me. I don't know why he's pointing me out. I don't know why he's on my sin. I got news for you tonight. He's not pointing you out. He's not trying to step on your toes. But he's done seen the tail whipping in the wheat field somewhere. He's done heard the roar of the lion. And he's seeing the snarls of the bears. And he's not after the sheep, but he's after the one that calls his heart to the Can I give some pastoring things away? Can I just spill the beans on some things? Would y'all preachers be upset? Y'all pastors, I'm an evangelist, so if y'all don't want me to, I won't do it. But I'm just going to say, as the pastor's kid, okay? I got a little pool. I ain't got all the pool because I ain't a pastor, but I got a little pool. But I just want to let y'all in on a secret. I've heard so many Christians say, how does he know? Y'all ready for this secret? He don't always know. Here's another secret. Sometimes he does. Sometimes God sends a first class delivery of mail from heaven.
Amen.
And then he blows it right into the preacher's mailbox. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he don't. A lot of times he don't. Matter of fact, I would say, as an evangelist, I've had pastors they want to talk to you. I got to talk to you about something. I try to avoid that till about Friday. Can I get a witness? I don't want to know what deacon it is, because it'll rise up in me and I'll get after it. I'm sorry. Don't tell the evangelist what the problems are. Let the Holy Ghost speak to the man of God, and let God speak through his vessel, and let God do the work. And it's the same way with the pastor. It's the same way with us children of God. It ain't that someone's told all your dirty mail, but it might be the Holy Ghost said, hey, they need to hear a good sermon on gossip. They need to hear a good sermon on giving. They need to hear a good sermon on worship. And the reason why he's stepping on your toes is because the Holy Ghost done grabbed a hold of your feet and he pulled them out under that pew and he said, listen, there's a line after you.
Amen.
David didn't want to cause harm to the ones that he loved. Matter of fact, the odds are not in his favor that this fight's going to turn out very well. But not only because of what he loved, he's fixing to learn some things about these sheep. I'm going off to fight my first battle. Going to fight with this lion, going to fight with this bear. And it may be my first, and it was. But it very well may be my last. But you know what? David had come to the conclusion that if the last thing he ever does was give his life for the sheep, then it would be worth it. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. If the last thing that little old lamb ever seen as it looked over out of the jaws of that lion, and he seen little old David running over there, amen, and fighting tooth and nail and being clawed to death and being ate up, and the jaws of that lion biting down and the claws of that bear scraping hold of David's arms and David's life, that lamb would have known one thing that day, that that shepherd was willing to do whatever it takes to protect me, because he loves me. Don't be offended when David comes running your way. He's trying to save you from something you cannot see. His love for the sheep. He loved his flock. Every time I go somewhere, every week of my life, I'm preaching somewhere. Brother Sean, you testify to this, and evangelist pastors in here that travel, you see it as well. When you walk in, it don't take very long. You can see. You can see the rips off of the coat jacket sleeves of a preacher. You can see as his shirt has been mangled. It's almost like sometimes you can see the blood dripping off of their elbows as they have been fighting with those lions and fighting with those bears. Most of the time, the lambs don't even know what's going on. Every time I go somewhere, I'm looking on the preacher, I'm looking on his family, his wife, and his children, and I can see as they have been entangled in a fight, and it's almost as I just wish every night of my life I could just preach it the way that I'm preaching it now. The Lord don't allow it that way, but can I tell you, for those of you that are here, if God has sent you, a God-fearing, God-called man of God, amen, if you can see the scratches on his life, if you can see the indentions on his arm, amen, if you can see the blood dripping off of his elbows, amen, you ought to be willing to get down there with him. You ought to be saying, man of God, I don't know of much use I can be, but I know this, you will not fight another lion, you will not fight another bear by yourself, but I'll go to the battlefield with you. I'll be your Aaron, I'll be your Hur, I'll hold up the hands of the man of God, I'll get in there. Let me in there first, let him know I'm here. I want to fight because it's worth fighting for. I'm trying to move, but let me say this and I'll move on. I might not be a pastor, but I might not know how to love people like you have learned to love people. I don't know how to appreciate people in a church working and giving like these pastors do. Yes, I do love them. Yes, I do appreciate them, but a pastor has got a love in his heart different than other preachers. But as an evangelist, I can be somewhere from Sunday to Wednesday, and before Wednesday night's last amen is given, I have connected with families. I have seen the hurt in mama's and daddy's eyes. And can I tell you tonight, child of God, amen, there's a love that is in the shepherd's heart. There's a love in a man of God's heart for the people of God. We are not in this thing to hurt you. Oh, but we are here to encourage you and to help strengthen you and impress you to keep going. Don't give up. Amen. We love the flock that God has given us. Oh, I love God's people. Well, I love God's people. I love God's church tonight. Oh, what a great people of God. David said, my father's worth fighting for. The flock is worth fighting for. And then lastly, I'll be through. My faith is worth fighting for.
Yes, sir.
Look in verse number 36. The Bible said, and thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Listen to what he says. Seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. If y'all want the southern edition of what David just said, it was something like this. Since he did what he did, he's fixing to get what's coming to him. I was all right with him out there, banging on his armor, clashing his spear onto the ground, showing his mighty sword in the air. But when he opened his mouth and he brought my God into this thing. You see, here's where I came from, Phillips. Y'all said I was just a little old shepherd boy. Well, that's exactly what I am. He said, I may not have calluses on my hands like y'all do. He said, but I got calluses on my fingertips from where I've been playing that harp all day. I got calluses on my knees where I've been down in prayer. And I've just come from that little old flock. I've just come out of the pasture where I've been spending time with God. And I've been hearing God say some beautiful things to me. And I've been praying unto Him and we've been fellowshipping. And when old Goliath opened his mouth and began to curse my God and began to curse the God that is the army of Israel the way that He is, I will not have it. And just like that lion and that bear, I may go down in this fight, but at least somebody's going to know that my faith is worth fighting for. I may not be the best preacher. I might not be the best singer. I might not be the best spoken. I might not be the best equipped. But before I leave here tonight, I want you to know one thing about me. I am willing to go down in this fight because there are some things that are worth fighting for. Honey, it's time that we remember to keep on fighting. To keep on fighting. When's the last time something made you so upset that you rose up against it?
Yeah.
When's the last time something got up under your saddle? Amen. When's the last time something just irked you the wrong way? When's the last time you said, listen, I'll have a life, but I will not have that? Amen. When's the last time, child of God, that the conviction was so strong in your heart that you said, hey, we don't do that in this house no more. We don't talk that way no more. We don't live like that no more. We don't hang out with that crowd. We don't associate with those types. We don't drink those drinks. We don't smoke them smokes. Amen. We don't walk that way. We don't talk that way. You better rise up and make a decision right now. It ain't going to get no easier from here, but it will only get hotter and harder and harder that I will be willing to fight. One of the most beautiful illustrations I believe the Word of God has ever given us about standing for something would have been in Daniel chapter number 3.
Yeah.
Those three Hebrew boys,
yeah,
at the commandment of Nebuchadnezzar, at the sound of the music, bow and worship my image.
Yeah.
He wanted worship for himself. You know the story. And those boys, they made that declaration to Nebuchadnezzar that day, we will not bow. Our God is able to deliver us out of the burning fire furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand. But if not, if you don't do nothing, we still ain't bowing. We still ain't giving in. You know the story, how it goes. They was cast into that fire. Jesus gets in the fire with them. The fourth man looked like the Son of God. And can I tell you the reason why I'm reminding us of this story tonight? It's simply this. Those boys did not make that decision in Babylon. They didn't arrive to the foot of Nebuchadnezzar. They was not put in a position of decisions. They was not put in that element to make a deciding moment and a deciding factor of their lives. But I tell you where it happened. It happened somewhere around Gatlinburg, Tennessee. It happened at an old altar somewhere. It happened back at church somewhere. They didn't make their decision in Babylon. They made their decision in Jerusalem. And they lived what they decided in Babylon. Don't wait till you're pressed. Don't wait till the temptation arises. But find you somewhere and get sold out to God and say, Lord, I don't know what's around the corner tomorrow. I don't know what's waiting for me on the other side. But I made up my mind. I'm not going to walk away. I've got too much at stake. I'm not going to turn back now. I will stand and stand for what I believe in. My faith is worth fighting for. I tell you tonight, this book is worth fighting for.
Yes, sir. 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 Yes, sir.
The gospel, it's worth fighting for. That death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, it's not up for negotiation. It's not up for debate. It's not up for deciding and compromising. The Bible said this. Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 4, he said there's one Lord and one faith. Amen. This ain't a feel-good faith, have it your way faith, but it's the way that God intended it tonight. Amen. That the Spirit of God would draw all men unto himself. Amen. And that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't care what they say on the radio, on TV. There's one way to heaven, and that's through the precious blood that our lovely Lamb, Jesus Christ, shed for you and I. He was the one that walked out on the riverbanks of Jordan, and John sent him out there, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. My faith is worth fighting for tonight. I'm through. Can I say this and I'll be done? I ain't going to preach it, but I'll say it. The future is worth fighting for. Can I read you one verse and I'll be through, I promise you. Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. In this month of October, I think I've slept in my bed about 5 times. Now I've missed taking my girls to school about 20-something times. And it tears my heart out. And it hurts me. I ain't gonna lie about it. Satan likes to get all over preachers about that, don't he? But I've got some faith. And there's some things that I pray that, Lord, I hope my family understands. And I ain't in this to win the world and lose my family. Amen. I don't want to be famous at the cost of my wife or my children. I don't want to be successful at their price. But I tell you what I have seen. I have seen about 20 people this month make their way down an aisle and kneel at an altar and come to know the Lord Jesus. And I'm seeing some teenagers throughout this year that are saying, I'm giving him my everything. He can have me. He can take me. He can use me with whatever he wants to do in my life. And when David come carrying that head, showed up back at the camp of Israel and threw it down at the feet of all of those men. They said, what's that? He said, that's the power of God. That's proof there is a God in Israel. It wasn't for my glory, but it was for his glory. Brother Derek, I ain't doing this tonight for me. I ain't doing this for Brother Sean. I love you and I thank you for the opportunity, but it ain't for us tonight. Oh, but it's all for his glory, and it's for a generation coming up under us. But we got to remind them there are some things that are worth fighting for. The place that God sends you, it's worth it. The Father's worth it. Amen. My flock's worth it. And my faith is worth it. And this future is worth it. I heard two preachers say two things, and I'm going to tell it to you in that order, and I'm through. Preacher said the teenagers, the younger generation, he said they're the church of tomorrow. I listened to him. Wasn't very long. Got another meeting. I heard another preacher get up. He said something like this. He said, the teenagers, this generation, that generation, all these generations, all of y'all, from 1 to 100.
Yes, sir. You're the church of today.
Yes, sir.
You might be the future, but you're the active thing right now. We need every teenager in Texas to be on fire for God. We need some young ladies in Texas to be, minds made it up, I'm serving God. We need some young boys that'll say, I'm giving it all to God. I don't want the ways of the world. I don't want that lifestyle. We need some from South Georgia to say, Lord, I'm willing to go wherever you want. Lord, I want to do whatever you want. There's some things worth fighting for. We need some young ladies, some young men. We need some preachers that'll rise back up and say, it's about time that we get back to some Spirit-filled services, to some Holy Ghost-filled living, and say that there are some things. Hey, I want to be like David. I don't want to wait and go get prepared. I want to be prepared and ready for this fight. We're standing together all over the building. How many would say tonight, there are some things worth fighting for in my life? I'm not backing down. I'm not giving in. And I'm not giving up. I'm going to stand strong. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the word of God, for the testimony of David, the influence that he had in that day. But Lord, he said that the people may know. And Lord, years and years and years later, here we are talking about David walking out on the battlefield and finding a victory through the power of God. Lord, it wasn't in vain that the people would know, but Lord, tonight we're saying it all again, that the people may know there are some things worth fighting for. Encourage a pastor that has been weary in his fight tonight. Encourage a teenager that is getting tired of fighting the same battle day in and day out. Encourage a mom and daddy that is tired of praying for that loved one that they love, that it seems like God hasn't answered that prayer yet. Encourage a loved one tonight that's felt like giving up. Let us remember there are some things worth fighting for. In Jesus' name.
Head bowed, eyes closed. Young people, you ought to be in this altar. Is she placed? Are you fighting? Are you in the fight? She's playing along. Let's get with God for a minute. Come on. More coming. Come on. Still coming, come on. You might be an adult and you're not a preacher. But what are you doing in the fight? Everybody needs to be on the battlefield for the Lord. Amen.
To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning. Jesus, I have decided No turning.